Good afternoon. Nice to be gathered together here on this beautiful Sabbath day, come out of Satan's world all that we've been in all week long and be able to gather here and be with God's brethren. Very special. Some of you may have read the Council of Elders report that came out, and there was a mistake there. So if you read that and for some reason think that maybe my wife and I are moving to Reno, Nevada, it's not true. That was a mistake. So if you don't know what that means, we don't need to worry about it. So I want to welcome all of our visitors and a special welcome to anyone who might be tuning in on the webcast today. It's certainly a blessing to have the webcast. As we begin today, we often talk or hear people talking about how to be a good leader. You might Google on the computer leadership training or how to be a good leader. There's the Center for Creative Leadership. There's leadership team development, and there's education centers around the world teaching people about how to be a good leader. There's leadership training at many colleges and universities, Harvard, Northwestern, and so on. There's leadership training at the Institute for Conservative Leadership. And you can look up 20 different leadership training companies that you might think about going to if you want to become a good leader. Most MBA programs are leadership programs. And there's an entire industry that sprung up around the topic of leadership. We see books, we see magazines, we see leadership forums. We see a lot of conversation about being a good leader. People debate current leaders that we have, good, bad, or even future leaders. We see the good that good leaders do, and we see the bad that bad leaders do. And no doubt, at some point, we are going to be called upon to be leaders in the future. But have we ever thought about being a good follower? We're not going to be called on to be a leader if we haven't learned how to be a follower. So today we're going to look and see what the Bible says about being a good follower. Certainly leaders are important, and it's important to be a good follower also. But what makes a good follower? When we look around God's creation, we see the example of many things. We see the example of God's creation working together. We see an anthill. We see a beehive as all of God's creatures working together and following each other to create their food or their sustenance. Whether it's a herd of elephants or a pod of whales, we see God's creation working together, not every one of them being the leader. So if we were to ask who was the greatest leader who ever lived, I think we would all come up with the answer, Jesus Christ, because he set the perfect example for leadership. Well, we might ask, who is the greatest follower? And we could also say Jesus Christ. He was the greatest leader because he is also the greatest follower. He followed his Father perfectly. Let's turn to John chapter 5 and see what Jesus Christ said about being a follower. John chapter 5, we'll read verse 30 today. I can of myself do nothing, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus Christ followed the will of his Father. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue this thought. Matthew 7. Do we know how to be a good follower? Let's look in verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Not only did Jesus Christ follow his Father's will, he instructed us also to follow his Father's will. When we look back, think of the example of the crucifixion. When Jesus prayed, Father, take this cup away from me, not my will, but your will. Jesus Christ was a good example of a follower, and we're also called to be followers. There'll be times that we're asked to lead or called to lead, and at other times we'll be needing to be a follower. And the ability to lead doesn't come from our great skills, but it comes from our willingness to follow. When we think about our Christian walk, we gain influence not by power and wealth, but by the Holy Spirit, the power of our leader, and that Holy Spirit living through our lives. And therefore, we see the fruits of that Holy Spirit in our lives. We are called to be followers. Christ said, "Follow me," over and over again. As a matter of fact, 19 times in the New Testament, Jesus Christ said, "Follow me." If you look up the word lead, it's only used a very few times, and in most cases, it's used in a very negative concept. But Jesus Christ said, "Follow me," 19 times. Let's look at a few of those instances. Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at verse 24. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And continuing over chapter 19 of the book of Matthew, in verse 21. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." As we look at a few of these examples, let's turn to the book of John, John chapter 10, starting in verse 27. Instructions that Jesus Christ gave us to follow him. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." We're in John 10, a couple of pages over to John chapter 12, start reading in verse 25. "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Verse 26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." John 14:6 states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Philippians 2, verse 5 states, "Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And what was that? A mind of humble service. We are called to be followers of Jesus Christ. But when we think about that, what would be some characteristics of being a good follower? We have seen that we're called to be followers. What are some characteristics? We've seen good leaders. Good leaders, one of the things that good leaders must be, as we have seen, is they must be a good follower. We might think of different examples in the Bible. The example of Joshua. Joshua followed Moses for more than 40 years. Elisha followed Elijah for 10 years before he became a leader. We think even the example of David. David was in Saul's house and watched what Saul did for many years also. We see that good leaders must be good followers. So what are those characteristics? I've just jotted down a few here, and you could probably jot down others yourself and come up with some. But some of the ones that I came up with is that good followers must be committed. Good followers must be committed. We see that God is committed to us through his promises and his covenants. And we know that our hope is sure. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. God is committed to us. To be a good follower, we also must be committed. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and your content of which such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Jesus Christ is committed to us. Verse 6, So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is committed to us, and we should be committed to each other. We must be committed to each other. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 when we think of a good follower must be committed. Luke chapter 9. We'll start reading in verse 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Verse 60. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Had other things that he had to do. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So when we think of being committed, we might think of examples throughout the Bible, such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We might think of Daniel in the lion's den, who were committed no matter what. We might think of David that was committed to Jonathan. Let's turn to the book of Ruth as another example in the Bible of those that were committed. Ruth chapter 1. We all know the story of Ruth, so we won't go through the whole story, but I would like to zero in on verse 16 to what Ruth said in reference to Naomi. Verse 16 of Ruth 1. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she had determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So we see this level of commitment. We see this level of commitment to each other. We see that God, good followers are not worried who gets the credit, but is concerned about the goals of everyone or the goals of others. So we see to be a good follower, we must be committed to each other. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the New Testament. Talking about being committed. 2 Timothy 1. We'll start reading in verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Hold fast, being committed to God's way of life, being committed to each other. So we must be committed. Another characteristics of a good follower that I jotted down is good followers must be competent and prepared. A good follower must be or needs to be knowledgeable, and an effective follower should know what the Bible teaches. We are to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to know what Jesus Christ teaches. 2 Timothy 2:15 states, a very familiar passage, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we must know what we believe and why we believe it. We know that Satan is out there seeking who he can devour. And we know that in order to be competent and prepared and not be sidetracked by Satan, we must be continually going back and making sure that we're well-grounded in God's word, well-grounded in the foundational doctrines. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. When we think about people that have stumbled, who have fallen away who have been picked off by Satan, many times it's because they got tripped up and forgot about the foundational, fundamental doctrines. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. For this, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We should know those fundamental doctrines. We should be able to know and be able to review and be able to teach, is what Paul was stating here, so that we're not swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes around, because it does come around. Oftentimes we have people with different ideas or new ideas, and they sometimes pick people off. Even longtime members we have seen succumb to twigs of heresy. They get caught up in the fantasy of some heresy or some new truth that's not really a new truth at all. What should we do? Review those doctrines. Review those difficult doctrines that people have sometimes. Know what we know and know why we know them. We often realize that many people have to go to continuing education. Whether you're a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer or a contractor, you have continuing education hours that you must put in. And we also, to be a good follower, must put in our continuing education hours. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for a reason of the hope that is in you. So we see that good followers must be competent and prepared. Another characteristic of a good follower is a good followers are to be humble. Good followers don't have to be in charge all the time. Have we ever met someone that they just had to be in charge, no matter what? Maybe you've worked with someone, and no matter what job they did, they had to be the one in charge. Some feel that they can, if they can't be in charge, then they're going to do everything they can to trip up the person that is in charge. Good followers cooperate with each other. And we can accomplish so much more if we have a humble attitude. 2 Chronicles and chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. A memory scripture for many people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. A verse that if this nation would heed, would make a tremendous difference. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. A very powerful scripture. If we as human beings would only follow this one scripture, think of the difference the world would be in. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. We'll start reading in verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66, a few pages over. God will dwell with the humble and contrite. Starting in verse 1 of Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made. And all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 tells us that we should humble ourselves as a child. And we use this verse when we think about the blessing of little children and the example that God teaches us that we should have the heart of a little child. Luke 14, verse 7 states, "He who humbles himself will be exalted." Colossians 3, verse 12 states, "As the elect of God, put on humbleness of mind." Titus 3, verse 1 teaches us, "Be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." So we know that good followers then are humble. Another characteristic is good followers must be honest, trustworthy, and have integrity. We must be honest. Most people believe and want to work with someone that they trust. They want to be around someone that has integrity, a good follower, or a good leader. Honesty ranks right up there with being dependable as a maximum characteristic for good followers. We must have that integrity. Although in the word integrity is not found in the New Testament, the principle of integrity is, and it's found throughout the Bible in one way or another. It's translated complete, full, upright, perfect, or innocent. And as a matter of fact, that concept is translated 8,537 times, the concept of integrity, trustworthy, honesty. A few quotes that I jotted down in reference to this. Dwight Eisenhower stated, "The supreme quality is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible. No matter whether it is on a section gang, a football field, in an army, or in an office." Dwight Eisenhower. Oprah Winfrey stated, and I quote, "Real integrity is doing the right thing, knowing that nobody's going to know whether you did it or not." Zig Ziglar stated, "The foundation stones for a balanced success are honesty, character, integrity, faith, love, and loyalty." He also stated, "With integrity, you will have nothing to fear, since you have nothing to hide." With integrity, he stated, "You will do the right thing, so you will have no guilt." Integrity is one of the core morality and justice issues. Albert Einstein stated, "Whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters." Integrity is honesty, truth-loving, truth-living, truth-telling, even if no one is watching. We should all be good examples of integrity, whether we're being a follower or a leader. So what are we known as? Are we approachable, honest? Are we open? Are we moral? Are we ethical? Do other people trust us? Paul stated, and Paul was a good follower, he stated, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We might think of Paul's past and what he had been through, what he had done. And after everything that he had done, he stated, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We might think of our family. Do we keep our promises to our family? Are we a good example for our children? Do they see us following others? Do they see the words that we use as good examples of integrity? Does our family consider us to be faithful? How about those at work, our vocation? Are we hardworking? Are we profitable for our boss? Are we moral? Are we honest? Integrity in the church. Are we a serving person? Do we serve for all of the right reasons? Do we finish what we start? Do we do what we say? Are we friendly? Are we a good example for others? Are we genuinely caring? So all of these come under the umbrella of integrity, and a good follower has integrity and honesty. Another characteristic of a good follower is that good followers are diligent. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes. Things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Diligence is a godly character trait. When we think about diligence, we see that it's an important factor in God's kingdom. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Good followers are diligent. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, verse 14, beloved, looking forward to these things as we all are, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and without blameness. Good followers are diligent. Another characteristic that I jotted down was that good followers are patient. Do we get in a hurry for God? Do we want things done our way and in our timetable? Are we patient with others? We always want others to be patient with us, with our shortcomings, with our stumbles. Are we quick to talk about others in a negative way that might be struggling? Are we patient with others, and are we patient with God? Turn to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. We'll start reading in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We must be patient. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Back in the New Testament, we'll start reading in verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. Whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that James 1 and verse 2 tells us that we should let patience have its perfect work. And we see the common thread of patience throughout the pages of the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. and we'll read starting in verse 20. Thinking about being patient, 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you shall follow in his footsteps. Ephesians 5 tells us, therefore, be followers of God as dear children. And good followers, we see, are patient. So what attitude should we have? We see the powerful example of the humble attitude at Passover time of washing each other's feet. We see Christ leading those who serve him. We see a submissive attitude towards each other and Jesus Christ. And we see sometimes that the road ahead and going through difficult trials seems dark and scary. It seems like we're going through trials all alone, going through grief. But God tells us to be patient. We keep following. We are called to be followers. It's part of our calling. It's part of our conversion process. So if we learn to be good followers, we will be good leaders. The best leaders are those who are the best followers. In life, we're all called to be leaders at one time or another, but we're also called to be followers and teach others to follow by our example. Those that see us, our children, our families, those that work with us. So we are always leaders and we are always followers. We should be following Jesus Christ, and then we can lead others to follow him also. Our true leadership qualities don't come from our talents, but true leadership comes from our commitment to follow Jesus Christ. So as we look ahead to the fall holy days, and as we look ahead to their meaning and reflect on that, we see our calling. We see our invitation. We see our relationship with our Savior. We see that invitation opening our minds and our hearts to our true potential, our learning what true happiness is, and our joy. So as we do, we learn greater meaning in our Savior's instructing words when he tells us, follow me.